Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and this particular episode is Cues of the Force. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw. There are no cues in my name, which is kind of sad. But anyway, I'm still Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'd like a Q. I got a Z. I'm Ked Napzok. That Z and that P combo's thrown people for a loop my entire life.
Yep, I understand. I've said before, growing up in the Midwest, Scrimshaw is pretty straightforward, but everybody wanted there to be an H in it. And then when there wasn't, oh, every year at school, is Joseph Shushmashwa here? Like, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why. A Q would have thrown it off even more. Do you ever wish your middle initial was Q? Would you want to be Ken Q Napzok?
Yeah. It's Alan, so I'm good with Khan as my initials, but Q's it's a mysterious letter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm Aaron, so Jazz, which I used to use for video games when they wanted you to enter your name. In the Zelda games, I was Jazz, Hero of Time, which was fun. Very fun. Anyway, we are here to talk Q's, which stands for questions, and A's, which stands for answers most of the time, but A can stand for other things, like Audible. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. We are continuing to recommend Path of Deceit by Tessa Grattan in Justina, Ireland, a High Republic adventure that we will dig into. If you want to be caught up and give it a listen, you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/forcecenter. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/4center for a free audio book. So we've handled the A that is audible. Now we have the A that is ask.
We do have an ask. You all out there have been so great in supporting us over on YouTube. We had the second episode of Figure Fights premiere yesterday. Always fun for that. And we're going to go back to our ask of 7,000 subscribers. It is a humble number that we're so close to reaching. And so many of you who have listened have supported us, subscribed over there. And we know, look, YouTube's not necessary for everyone. We totally get that, but it's we're having a lot of fun over there. So we humbly ask you to consider helping us reach our 7,000 subscriber goal over on YouTube. And give us a like on the Figure Fights episode. We got some essays. We got shorts. We got it all, Joseph. I'm like a used YouTube car salesman.
We got essays. We got shorts. It sounds like that's what we're wearing, and that's what we're talking about. We got it all. Go see our shorts. Anyway, we've got two A's out of the way, which means we are down to the third A, answers. We got Q's and A's. We got two questions from listeners on Twitter, as always, and two from our patrons on Patreon. We're going to go first to Twitter and Dr. Adelaide Clark, which, in my opinion, is a cool real name that absolutely sounds like a fun fictional character. Dr. Adelaide Clark says, Q time. Watching episode 3, listening to old pod episodes has made me want to rewatch Kenobi. Do you think Anakin ever questioned to himself or to Sheev's face why Palpatine knew so much about the Sith? Or is it just that he didn't want to know, so he chose not to notice? Very intriguing. Ken, where do you go with this one?
I wish I had one of those answers that pulls in a lot of stuff from canon and this episode and that episode. I sometimes wish I had that my mind set up in that way. I go to like the hard stuff there, and Dr. Clark here has a wonderful thought of, don't we all just do this? Don't we all ignore the warning signs? Don't we all? We don't want to question what you think will help you. And Anakin is in that spot. And that's the strength of Palpatine. He knows it. He's been building towards this. And that's why that scene in the opera there, the Mon Calamari Squid Lake Ballet, that's why it just resonates. It sings, baby. It's just like, oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. And I've said over the years, like back in the day, 05, like I had a little bit of problem with Anakin's fall. Like I don't know what I wanted. It to be more violent, more cool. Like he was like, I have the power, like he's He-Man. No, he falls to his knees in tears because that is the fall. He can't overcome all these things. And I do think it goes to stuff like this. If he had stopped for a second and thought about it, maybe he would have questioned his own path. But then, and wrap up my answer here, Joseph, I wonder how much of it was a sort of ignorance or lack of the full picture and all the knowledge that he needed. And I don't want this to come across as just a complete indictment on the Jedi Order and their policies and their curriculum in the schools. But how much do they know of the process? We got Mace and Yoda talking about, well, we know the rule of two. They got that. But they haven't been around for 1,000 years. And there's going to be another question shortly here that we're going to answer. I think it even ties into this stuff, but I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here in the show. So what haven't they shared? And not necessarily from a, we're going to protect younglings. We don't want them to know the truth or any of that kind of stuff, but just how much of his brain is set up to immediately understand or pick up all the stuff of, well, wait a minute. If you learned some, wait a second, all the, what am I doing? What am I doing? But at the end of the day, Anakin's not prepared to ask himself that question. What am I doing? He's ignoring all the signs.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think this is, for me, one of the best scenes in all of Star Wars. I know we say that often, but we have a lot of favorite scenes. Look for our ranked episode, the 2000 best scenes in all of Star Wars. But I viscerally remember seeing the Galaxy's Opera House seduction scene, yes. Emotional, mental, selling the soul at the crossroads scene on my first viewing at midnight in back in Minneapolis. It's so, so well done. The manipulation is so clear. And I think that Palpatine's manipulation is very successful, but it is ultimately Anakin who does have to go along with it, right? And that's what Dr. Adelaide Clark is asking about. Mm-hmm. I think Anakin had got himself to a place where he was not going to reach out to the people that he knew loved him and cared about him, for answers, right? He Padme tries to get through to him, and he's not super communicative with her in the film. Obi-Wan tries to talk to him, and he's not super communicative, you know? He's not calling Ahsoka of his own volition, going, kid.
Yeah.
You know? Anakin is in a headspace like I am when I'm angry on Twitter and I see a headline I really agree with. And I just want to hit retweet without checking the source because I want that to be true. I need that to be true. I want to slam that retweet button because it is what I need to hear and it's what I want to be true. And I really work hard to be like, but I better read it, you know, or double check the source, double check the date it's from, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Anakin's just in a place to be like, that is exactly what I need to hear in the biggest picture of my fear that that there is, what if there isn't a power? I've promised that I'll be powerful enough to stop people I love from dying. I promised my mother at her grave that, you know, I've promised Padme that, I've promised myself this can't happen. Here's the answer. But then on top of it, the great manipulation of there's a lot of things the Jedi haven't told you. He wants to believe that without checking the sources too.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I love that you've really summed this up well. Anakin smashing the retweet button is just absolutely the way to look at it. I really think that's the case. Yeah, and again, I don't want to sound like I'm wagging a finger at the Jedi Order. They get enough of that. But not all the tools were in place. Not all the tools in the toolbox for Anakin. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the thing for me that can sometimes get a little tricky to navigate when discussing the Jedi and especially in our Clone Wars report discussions, why I was big on hashtag justice for the Jedi. Mm-hmm. I think it's easy to say, like, when we see them in the prequel era, they are making these mistakes. And so that's who the Jedi are. Mm-hmm. And I just always feel like the story is bigger than that of they have these lofty ideals and they stumble from them. And I think the point is to look at how they stumbled. And I think one of the ways that it could be argued that they have stumbled is they have created an atmosphere where somebody like Palpatine can manipulate Anakin, right? Because they have become more rigid in a lot of ways. They haven't, you know, given Anakin sort of the emotional support he needs. They've just told him where he needs to go. They haven't helped him get there.
Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan included, of here's some healthier ways to process your feelings. Just like, damn, you shouldn't, that's not what a Jedi does. Don't be so worried about your mother, be in the moment. Like, great, okay, well, help him do that. But then I think so much of this has been expanded well in a lot of the publishing storytelling, even Tales of the Jedi, which we'll talk about more. But this idea that the Jedi have gotten more and more restrictive about, you know, putting the Sith artifacts behind walls because, like, okay, hey, fair enough. There might be a Sith living in them. You don't want to be like, hey, younglings, play with this mask. Discover things, right?
Put it on.
But at the same time, there's that, like, you need to not make it this forbidden, unspoken of thing that will only make it more interesting, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like they have this good instinct and then they're like overly protective parents, which I know, you know. Yeah. And I both have real life experiences with of like, if you just deny emotions, you know, anger, darkness, fear, then that makes them even more dangerous because then you're not helping people find ways to cope with them. Right. And I think that's one of the criticisms of the Jedi. And I think it's the one that Palpatine is exploiting so well. Over the years, Palpatine has earned Anakin's trust because he's always so supportive. He's been the person who's always saying what Anakin wants to hear, right? Mm-hmm. That it's great to have power and you're the most powerful and you are competent and you are capable and they shouldn't, you know, hold you back. So Palpatine has really created an atmosphere where even when he's suddenly like, I know some legends of the Sith, there's a reason that Anakin's not questioning him because Palpatine has set up this world to trust him, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's almost this now we're in a youth group situation where Anakin's been told don't have sex or do drugs. Just wait a week and see how that works out. Sorry, real world experiences happening here, right? Palpatine, this is the strength of Palpatine, the manipulator, the great manipulator of the galaxy. He is the great evil, but these are the tools. And that just the We've talked about this before, even stuff with Obi-Wan and Anakin having kind of the hard conversation about Padme, and it didn't quite go as far as it maybe needed. If Anakin just felt he could explore that, he'd be in a better position to deal with it. And because he can't, and again, no finger wagging at anybody, but we all make our choices, and this is where you're at. You're in that balcony, and Palpatine's just been waiting to say, look at the knowledge I have. Look at the power I have. And why would you question it? Why, if you're Anakin, why would you at that point?
Yeah.
Put the details.
I also just think that there is the possibility that the Jedi really haven't held that much back or restricted that much, but they've created an atmosphere where that is entirely believable to Anakin. And that's one of my favorite things about this scene is Palpatine frames this Sith legend not as something that's like particularly elusive or secret. He's not like, bend over, I'm going to tell you a story only I know, right? It's a story the Jedi wouldn't tell him.
Yes.
As though that, like, hey, if you hung out with bounty hunters more, this is a well-known fable, you know? And the idea that he's framing it that way while he's telling him something that I don't think the Jedi know, right? If we are to believe that's his life story, the Jedi don't know the legend of Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Yeah.
And Anakin is living in a world where that manipulation is really easy. It's easy to believe that the Jedi have kept something from him. And then it's really funny when it's like, yeah, I don't think they know that story.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. It all just feeds into how dangerous Palpatine is for me.
Yeah. Master manipulator, Sheev Palpatine. Great question, Dr. Adelaide Clark. Thank you. We're going to move on to our next question from Ben Potter, which, Ken, as you said, it's got some overlap. We're in the same era. Mm-hmm. Ben says, in The Phantom Menace, Mace asks Qui-Gon if he thinks Anakin is the person in the prophecy that will bring balance to the Force. I think part of the Jedi Council's disbelief in Qui-Gon is that they assume the Force was in balance because the Sith have not been around for so long. Your thoughts. Where do you go with this, Ken? Do you think that some of the Jedi on the Council, who are a little cocky, a little sure of themselves, do you think they are like, what's the problem? Everything's in balance. We're great. Everything's golden.
Yeah. Once again, I apologize for not having an exact canon list of all this stuff in my head here, but I think somewhere Ki-Adi Mundi is nodding. Well, yes, it was. Part of the downfall was their arrogance. Yoda and Mace, they do have that conversation, right, with Obi-Wan a couple times. At least it's implied. So there's that arrogance. And usually, I don't know, to me, arrogance usually masks fear, right? Uncertainty, maybe some self-confidence issues. There's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. And if you're pushed to that direction, I often wonder what it's hiding. So someone going, hey, found this kid and he's going to fix what we think isn't broken. That could very well be a problem. And again, I don't want to finger wag. I think Mace is right on so many things. Execution, bedside manner, bit of a problem, right? Over and over again. And I just think it's hard for anyone to. I love this angle. I love this question, Ben. It's hard to, you know, Qui-Gon, who, by the way, they're already at odds with Qui-Gon. He's, you know, maybe not on all the Life Day Christmas card lists for all these people. And here he is. It's implied, I think, in that. Hey, you know, this is the one, this prophecy that's so long ago. And by the way, you know, Qui-Gon and Dooku, they get into the prophecy thing and the dangers of that and Jedi's relationship to prophecy and all that kind of stuff can be discussed at Master Apprentice. Great. That book comes up, Dooku Jedi Lost. So, and then you got Qui-Gon just kind of, well, I still dug into it. And look at this. This kid's going to save us. Of course, you're going to be like, what, that kid? This little angry, cold kid? Nah. Nah. And that's why you get that some of that stuff. And then later on, hey, maybe we got this wrong. There's fighting it as well, to me. Mm-hmm. So that's where my mind starts and goes.
A prophecy that misunderstood or misread could have been, yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think there is absolutely some cockiness about this, particularly from Ki-Adi Mundi and Mace, who they've got the double denial, right, of... Ki-Adi Mundi says, impossible. The Sith have been extinct for a millennium. about Qui-Gon saying, I think Darth Maul was a Sith Lord. And Mace says, I do not believe the Sith could have returned without us knowing. So they both seem to be supporting Ben's question that there's some disagreement on the council that, like, we might be having some problems right now. Sure, you know, there's some things going on with the government and some flare-ups here and there. But we're not in the middle of some great dark era. So I like the idea that some of the council is like, hey, you know, hands on the wheel at 2 and 10 or whatever they're, you know, telling us now these days in driver's ed and space driver's ed. We got this. We're going along. Let's not be all paranoid and worrying about stuff. And, you know, whereas I think other council members are a little bit more open, a little bit more concerned. I really like how all of this gets fleshed out in those Tales of the Jedi episodes. With Dooku in particular, that there's a picture that really emerges of Mace, of he is a rule follower and a rule enforcer. The code is everything to him. The council's wisdom is everything to him. And I think that's such the tricky part of the whole Justice for the Jedi thing is, like, there's great hard-earned wisdom in all of the Jedi's rules and ways. And yet at the same time, they also have to be open to questioning them. And I think Mace and Ki-Adi-Mundi in this particular moment, in this instance, represent a moment where, hey, the Jedi ways and the codes and the beliefs are probably correct 99% of the time, but you got to be open to that 1% where they need to be questioned. And that's where they always bump heads with Qui-Gon, because Qui-Gon is somebody who is open to possibilities and open to the evidence in front of his eyes and what he feels and his instincts, right? And he's sort of like, hey, yeah, the code's awesome.
Thumbs up on code.
No real problems with the code, but hey, you get out in the galaxy and sometimes you got to be more open than that. And I don't mean that in a great Jedi way, where Qui-Gon's like, hey, the code says don't kill, but sometimes, yeah, you just got an ace in MF. Like, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, well, maybe the Sith have returned, you know? Maybe we always thought we would feel it, but maybe we don't. Maybe there's a reason for that. And maybe prophecies are often problematic, but maybe this one isn't. He's just open to what is in front of him and responding to what is in front of him. And I like more and more as I watch it, interpreting some of the coldness and the frustration that is emanating from the Council and the Phantom Menace is like, poor Anakin is taking the heat that they want to give Qui-Gon.
Oh, yes, 100%. And it to me, it's one of Jake Lloyd's finest moments of just when they're like, you know, paraphrase, you cold? How you doing? Yeah, I'm cold, a-holes. Like, what do you think? And you're making me colder. Like,
yeah, I'm cold, sir.
I love Jake Lloyd in that moment. And I think he nails it. And then you got Qui-Gon, you know, I almost wish... You know, this is a great conversation, just, you know, going into total headcanon. Sometimes I wish Qui-Gon would step in front of him and be like, hey, you got something to say, you say to me.
Yeah.
You know, you got a problem, Ki-Adi? Got a problem? Talk to me.
Got a problem? Yeah. Yeah. So I think that they're just being rigid to answer Ben's question. Mm-hmm. I think that the attitude is that the Sith couldn't have returned. They're, you know, overly confident in their power, the fact that the Jedi aren't fallible in their minds in this moment. I think some of the prophecy stuff that gets built up in Dooku Jedi Lost and in Master and Apprentice in particular, I think there's a little bit of like, yeah, prophecies are not, we're not big on them, right? So I totally think that big chunks of the council are thinking that, like, yeah, here's two things we don't believe or want to deal with. and they dovetail that, normally Qui-Gon comes in with one winner. And this time he's got two. The Sith are back and he's got a virgin in the Force centered in a young boy who's the one who's going to stop it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Enjoy your fantasy story, Qui-Gon. Get the bleep out of here.
Yeah. And by the way, you showed up with this goofy Gungan. Like, you just, you know, Obi-Wan said you're just picking up pathetic life forms all along the way here. You're doing your thing, again, Qui-Gon.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really think it is. This is kind of ongoing philosophical battle, because we also know from Tales of the Jedi that there are Jedi who do believe that something's not right in the galaxy. That's what's driving, Sifo-Dyas mad. Dooku mm-hmm. believes that. I kind of think Yoda's more open to it, you know? Yeah. I think him saying, you know, always two there are is him believing some of the rumors, you know?
Yep.
The Yaddle story is her going, you know what, Dooku, you were right. The things aren't right. And a lot of people on the council aren't willing to look at it, aren't willing to think about it, don't agree that something's not right. Yep. And I think if you look at the Phantom Menace from the context of that extra information of in Tales of the Jedi, it really does feel like once Maul is confirmed as a Sith, then that is upended, right? And I think that's a part of them going, okay, if the Sith are back, maybe there's something with this prophecy that's not have the boy just wandering the galaxy. Let's keep him here.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you're highlighting the Tales of the Jedi stuff. Just like that, just a wonderful, you know, the Soga stuff's great too and factors into this all, but the Philosophy of the Jedi stuff. But yeah, man, that Dooku stuff is so solid. And Yaddle, that painful moment of, you know what, yeah, maybe we should have listened to you. Things could be a lot different. And that's the thing, you know, I totally get not wanting to be challenged on certain things you hold near to your heart. But sometimes the result is confirmation of what you believe, just a different way to approach it and grow with it. And I think that could be a little bit what plagues the Jedi Order and what Lucas has at the center of it, right? Don't throw out the order. Question it and make sure you're adhering to the mottos on your building. And your mission statements.
Yeah. I mean, I go back to with some of Lucas's, you know, frustration with organizations and mm-hmm. how they can become encrusted and fail at their own ideals, which is just all over the prequels. And in mm-hmm. the Clone Wars, is like going back to his Director's Guild challenge with Empire Strikes Back of like, well, what's the ideal there with that battle was people should be credited for their work. But at the time, it can only be done in this way. It has to be before the credits or before the film starts. It has to be at the top, you know? And so Lucas has no disagreement with the ideal, right? He's just saying, well, what if there was a different way? Because it's better for the story to have the story start, to have the fantasy start and not be interrupted. And then the credits come at the end. So we're not disagreeing on the ideal. It's just that you, Directors Guild at the time, are utterly rigid on how it must be expressed. And I feel like it's that those kind of ideas that are going on with the Jedi. Like, yes, we all agree about the ideal. There's absolute rigidity about how it must be expressed and executed.
Yes. Yes. I think it's, we mentioned it a lot, the Director's Guild battle, but I think it's, there's a reason we do and will continue to do. It's so key to not just his own life, but what he was trying to say. And I think even including, you know, Nixon era stuff and everything, it's not a lack of belief in country or Lucas isn't anti-union. It is this, yes, yes, yes. How can we make this better? And if not, we can't figure that way forward. We could lose all this. And it puts it all into the prequels in this real powerful way. So that's why I love having these kind of fun, also, you know, tragic conversations around the Jedi in this era.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They have great ideals. They stumbled a little bit, in my opinion.
A little bit.
A little bit. Any other thoughts on this one?
I just imagine George standing before the Directors Union with Irving Kirshner going, this is the director that will bring balance to the union. You think it's this director? And Kirshner going, I'm cold, sir. I'm cold, sir.
Yeah. The nope, the directors go going, actually, you've got a good idea. In fact, let's do that from, you know, it'll take a couple decades, but from now on, almost all movies will have the credits at the end. It turns out, George, this was your test. And like Ahsoka, he walks away.
Exactly.
Well, there are some tortured metaphors for George Lucas's fight in the 1970s and 80s with the Directors Guild. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more questions from our patrons on Patreon back in a moment.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And we are back with more Cues of the Force. We go now to two questions from patrons on Patreon. We go first to Social Tortoise. Here's what Social Tortoise has to say. I have a Star Wars podcast with my best friend from high school, but it's on hiatus because we've been busy with college. But we want to bring it back for Mando 3 because we started out with a weekly recap when it aired. For us, it felt special to have planned to talk about the show before we even knew it would become the phenomenon, and then be there as Mando hype doubled in season 2. I have a hypothetical. If Force Center had to go on a long hiatus for whatever reason, what Star Wars thing would get you back on the mic right away? In other words, if you took a break, what aspect of Star Wars would stick out as something you would absolutely need to return to right away? Social Tortoise also says, I have also returned from a few months back to give my twin son's moment as promised. Mine was when I was a camp counselor as a 20-year-old and was around so many lovely people and surrounded by nature. It made me feel for the first time that belonging could be found nearly anywhere if I let it. That is great. We often talk about our twin son's moments where we look out into the horizon and feel connected and hopeful and looking toward the future. That is a great one from Social Tortoise and a great question. So, Ken, do you have thoughts on either the twin sons moment or this question of what would make you need to get back on the mic in Star Wars?
Social Tortoise, that's an absolute great twin sons moment. Nature can often do that. And it's no coincidence that nature often runs through a lot of Star Wars and the connection to it and all that stuff that we talk about. Joseph, you talk about the organic versus the mechanical, all that kind of stuff. It's powerful. I haven't been in a forest in a bit. It's been a couple of years. I think I need to get back out and just stand by a tree. It works. So I love that moment until they get it. In terms of the other thing, I love these behind the scenes questions. We had the one last week about additional content outside of Star Wars. We talked about that. So first of all, just in terms of hiatus, I'll point that we're in our ninth season of broadcasting and we have never taken a break. I mean, like we're about to. I've even had some friends who are like, "Oh, so you guys go dark for a couple weeks during the holidays?" I'm like, "Oh no. We pre-tape. We go." and by coincidence, Force Center for me is one of the, if not the most successful thing in my career of 25 plus years of playing my trade in many different entertainment mediums. This is the one, and I think that consistency and treating it like work, but also having a fun spirit to it, has been part of our success, if I may say so ourselves. So if we do take a break, it's because Joseph sells a show and is running one. We're manifesting that. I don't know. Mark Ellis takes me to stand up tour the moon. I don't know. Something like that. And even then, we're blessed to have Jennifer on the team. When Jennifer needed to step aside for a little bit for her second child, we were able to do that. And the show goes on, and we wait for the right time for Jennifer to come back, which has been in the current form. So we're blessed to have that. So I think that's what sends us away. What, my opinion, what brings us back, or if I'm like, Joseph, I'm going to broadcast from the moon on this one, it's any content that strikes a real world core that needs to be discussed. Meaning we're going to find that in every piece of content. That's how our approach is on Force Center, right? So even the young, we're excited for the Young Jedi Adventures. But if I was away, and the Book of Boba Fett's a great example. I know it wasn't as popular as I would love it to have been. Maybe even Lucasfilm has that opinion. I run into a lot of like with that show, and that bums me out, and I get really excited, and that's what I want to talk about in the bar. I'll go to that Trejo scene so many times. I mention it here in the show because, gosh, I just want you to feel what I feel from it, and I just want to discuss my thoughts on it and see if you can connect with it in any way. And I think if that was to happen again, if Kenobi 2 comes along and we're not broadcasting, and I'm like, no, you, this is what the show is talking about, that more than say, hey, you know, a movie, maybe Force Center stops tomorrow, and then suddenly episode 10 is like, let's kick the mics up again. That's more the content, but what it's about, and wanting to discuss that with folks so they could maybe find the same kind of connection to it. That's what would get me back if we were away.
Yeah, no, I think we're in a very similar answers here across the board. I think one of the reasons that we've been able to go so long, I think we were forced to take a break when we were moving between podcast hosts.
Yep.
Between Anchor and Acast, so many A's. And that was just like weird. I started to get like, come on, all right. I'm just gonna start approaching random people on the street and go, hello from the galaxy far, far away. It was difficult. And I think one of the reasons though that we've been able to keep doing it is that we are able to make adjustments for one another's schedule, you know? And I would hope even if we had some like big stuff happen, that we'd be able to be like, well, we're at least going to do this episode a week, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But all that said, I think I really agree with you. I think in terms of like actual shows, if, you know, if we really had to take a break and then Kenobi season 2, that would be like, oh man, I just really want to talk about this. Right. More than any, anyone in conversation is going to talk to me about it, and a deeper level than anyone in a casual conversation is going to want to talk to me about it. Kenobi is one of the actual pieces of content, the stories that would draw me in. But I agree with you that I think what makes me most excited to discuss something is to celebrate it. And I think what I mean by that is I see or feel something in it that really moves me. And I think sometimes, you know, the dark side version of that is, oh, people are missing it out, so I'm going to, you know, or people are writing this off. Everybody is saying there's nothing to Book of Boba Fett. It's awful. Great. That's everybody is entitled to their opinions. And, you know, some parts of it don't work for people. That's fine. So I always want to approach it more from the perspective of, here's what I saw. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to give it another chance, maybe you can try to see these things in it too, and see if that makes you enjoy it more, or see if it connects with you in that way. That's what I get really excited about sharing. I've been loving talking about The Bad Batch season 2 because the episodes have really been affecting me. I've been really moved by them. They have felt like the issues at stake are deep, fundamental issues of trying to be a human. This week's episode, as we're recording our Q's episode, Ken and I haven't recorded our review, but it was powerful. It affected me. It helped me, you know, and that's the kind of thing that makes me go want to share what I saw, what I felt, and see if other people saw that, felt that, and want to see or feel those things.
Yeah, yeah. This is probably, again, why the show has continued to work and even grow. I think the way we talk about things, especially letting in our personal lives. But yeah, I think that's, I know that there would be 3,000 podcasts to discuss episode 10 if it was there, right? You know, I wouldn't, they wouldn't need my take on it, but I would love to just, you know, I'd just love to share what it meant to me. And I think that's what we lead with so many times. And that's what would pull me back.
Yeah. And I miss it. I just miss it. I've said this before, but like I love thinking about Star Wars, love talking about Star Wars from the really deep, like we're talking about, to let's, you know, just make a bunch of jokes about Boba Fett's knee darts. Like I love talking about Star Wars, and I'm lucky to know plenty of people who like Star Wars, but often it's, did you like this one? Did you like that one? Hey, Luke and Leia were siblings, but they kiss. I'm like, cool, great, fun, got it.
Yep.
Can we go deeper, more? Like, I'm not always going to get in casual one-on-one, we're at a party conversation. Like, I have to check myself. I have to warn people when they ask me, like, you know, I think about this a lot. So,
yes.
I'm going to try to have not, like, flames consume my eye and start floating up to the ceiling while I... You just asked me, did you like that one? Did you check that one out? I thought Boba Fett should have left Tatooine. And I'm like, ah, like I, that needs to go somewhere. That's not gonna, where it's wanted.
I love this side note. I think a lot of Force Center listeners nod when you and I and Jen share that kind of stuff. It's not that our opinions are better or more research or anything. That's the lane I'm in. And I often quote our buddy Adam Witt, who was a previous guest on the show for the Movie Guys. Highly recommend you check out Adam and Paul there with their Ford Fiesta podcast, looking at every Harrison Ford movie. But Adam said two quotes that have changed me number one, we are part of the generation that tried to destroy Star Wars for the generation behind it at the first chance we got, which was the prequel era overall. That's a general statement. Mm-hmm. That one really was like, I just did that kind of like, oh yeah. Okay. And then you just like, you come at me with that kind of stuff that you're talking about, Joseph. You don't want to talk about Star Wars. You just want to talk about the weather. Do you want to talk Star Wars, or you just want to make jokes? What is it? I don't got time for the second one. You want to make your the Stormtroopers miss jokes? Send me a meme, a 14-year-old meme of the Death Star fire pit. I don't have time for that. Do you want to talk about what the Death Star means? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. I try to be open to, you know, some of the older memes do check out, much like the meme about Piet that I just did is an older meme.
That's a personal thing for me where I'm like, the amount of people that text me who used to work with me 20 years ago, you like Star Wars, right? Like, don't send me that picture. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I have got grumpy in the past about the Stormtroopers miss joke.
Yeah.
More in Star Wars storytelling, because it's like, yep, we got it. The storytellers have done a great job. It's built in. They're not as well trained. And they mostly function through intimidation. They're not as good as clone troopers. I love that answer. All sorts of stuff like that. I think for me, it's sometimes when the conversations where sort of like very old things are assumed and spoken of in Star Wars as though it is known, as though it is true. And then I'd be like, well, let's dive deeper. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so clearly, we're not going to stop talking about Star Wars. You can't stop talking about Star Wars. So, no plans to stop talking anytime soon. Thank you, Social Tortoise, for that great question and for sharing, and best of luck on your podcast return. We are with you on the Mando hype. I think in some ways right now, you know, Mandalorian is, you know, the main event in lots of ways because of the cultural impact that it made, because the way, you know, Baby Yoda at the time just drew in a lot of people who were not necessarily all in Star Wars fans. You know, it is right now, there aren't movies in theaters, it is kind of the premier Star Wars, I think, because of the level of investment from people at all levels of Star Wars engagement. So I think it's really exciting to be on the precipice of kind of premier Star Wars coming back.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, which obviously is not to say anything against, you know, the other Star Wars that we love. But from now on, we'll move on. Our next and final question comes to us from Will Culbertson. Will says, hello, Four Center crew. I've been trying to think of a deep and meaningful Star Wars question for y'all to sink your teeth into for this round, and I just don't seem to have one in me today. So just for fun, what do you think Order 65 and Order 67 were all about? Please throw caution to the wind and speculate irresponsibly on this one. Cheers. Not only was this a fun question, but I thought this was a great opportunity. We'll put this in our new prompt that I put up this weekend for questions on our Patreon. And yeah, we want questions of all kinds. You want deep, philosophical, meaningful, we're happy to do that. But we also just want to celebrate the fun of Star Wars. So thank you for this fun question, Will. That said, Ken, do you have theories for Order 65 and Order 67?
I do. I will also add, Joseph and I are fun at parties. You can talk Star Wars with them at parties. It's just, don't be like, this is pretty stupid, right? No, let's celebrate McClunky because it's the best thing ever. And I love it.
Yeah.
We love the silly as much as the profound indeed. I think Order 66 I don't even know why that number is the number. Maybe there's a quote from Lucas or some concept there. I don't know if someone out there can let us know, but I've always wondered, you know, what's that case? So are 1 through 65 failed plans, other plans? And I go with this. Well, Order 65 is all part of Palpatine's ongoing plan. We know he's great at manipulation. We know he's great at rolling with the punches and keeping himself in a position of power. But I think Order 65 was a Jedi appreciation party. And that when that went out, it was to be like, hey, we're all for one here. Yeah, the war is coming to an end. Not that they necessarily knew that, but Order 65 is like, streamers, thanks for being around, Jedi. You can completely trust us. Turn your back on us. We're good. We're all here. We're all fighting. And then Order 67 was clean up and lost and found duty. And I think that's a little bit what you're seeing on Kashyyyk. That's Order 67, sadly, when they're going around looking at the destruction over there. And that leads into the next phase. And that, you know, might include hunting down Jedi and all that kind of stuff. But that's because then you go to the mass burning of the lightsabers in that comic, that Vader comic, with Masamita there, you know, burning all the lightsabers right after the fall. That could be part of it. Order 67 was pick up what was dropped.
Literally, pick up what was dropped. Like any Jedi gear, you're like, hey, we're gonna have a ritual burning of their little aqua breathers. Yeah. So, if any of those fell when they died,
that's what I think it is. A little dark. You know, because Jedi aren't vanishing into the Force here. So we gotta get rid of some sort of, you know, poor Ki-Adi in his robes. We gotta take the Megiddo gear. We gotta get rid of it somehow.
Order 67. Check their bodies like corpses in Bioshock. Yeah.
Search for loose change.
Loot the Jedi. Yeah. I love this. I kind of think my headcanon of actual canon is like, just Order 66 is the only order, and it sounds cool. Like, you know, I think that's the one. I remember when I was in college and starting to promote weird sketch comedy type shows. I went to college at the University of Minnesota, and at the time you could staple a flyer to anything but a person was allowed, pretty much. Not trees, but there's so many places. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna walk everywhere and paper this university. Other people were like, use tape, use pushpins. Like I tried that. It's like, no. So it's like, I got a big punch stapler, right?
Love those.
And I went and looked at one, and there was one called the T-50. And I remember thinking about how we've built ourselves up culturally, so certain letters and numbers sound big. And it's like, I would not have bought this if it was G-13. Yeah. I would not have trusted that stapler, but a T-50, that's a serious stapler. And I think of the T-50 stapler when I think of Order 66. Obviously, it's got the, you know, proximity to the, you know, alleged number of the beast. But
yes.
Yeah, it's just.
It's so right, though. You know, you and I have talked before about, you know, as comics and writer, you choose the right words, the right syllables, the right punch. Yeah. Order 66. I remember at the time in 05, I had that like, what kind of vibe? But that quickly fell away because it was just fun to say. And how many, speaking of things, and guess what? I've done this too, so I'm not casting any stunts. How many times do you go on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, who knows? And people are like, my order at McDonald's is 66. Look at this. It just works. Order 66.
That has to be shared every time. I take a photo every time I'm lucky and get order 66. Come on.
Been a few years. Screaming. I have done that too, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a just share always rule for me. Mm-hmm. But I love having the fun and joking. Okay, so I think, you know, order 65, I think all these orders are here to just kind of test the compliance of the mm-hmm. clones, right? Mm-hmm. My guess for order 65 is Palpatine sent a command to all the clones saying, let's take it easy on the big face tattoos. I think probably Palpatine was kind of frustrated as he watched over the course of the war the individuality of the clones grow. Like, okay, well, they're not going to go by their numbers. They're going to have little nicknames. Okay, fine, great. That'll make mm-hmm. them even closer to their the Jedi saps who want to see them all as individuals. Like, okay, now they're going wild with some haircuts. They got some weird haircuts.
Yeah.
They're doing some dyeing of their hair. Okay, all right. And there's some, even some facials, hair. Okay, and that, okay, what's this Jesse guy who got the entire Galactic Republic image, the logo, which I, Palpatine, intend to change a little bit for the Empire. He got that tattooed on his entire face. No. Order 65. Back off on the face tattoos, clones.
This is great. This is great because in baseball, I'm a New York Yankee fan, and they're often called the Evil Empire. But one of the reasons I think that matches up is they still, in this 2023, have the strict facial hair policy rule and hair rule. Like, you can't flash any personality. You must.
Really?
Yeah, they still have it. And I couldn't play for the Yankees. I need some facial hair. I need to change it. I would love the conversations Palpatine would have with Masamita, anyone, Yularen. What are these tattoos? You know, it probably drove him crazy, but he probably couldn't. He had to play along with it
mm-hmm.
until Order 65. But yeah.
Yep. Yep. A troubling amount of individuality for sure. I love your Order 67.
Dark.
Loot the remains. Loot of the Jedi. I'm trying to think what's, you know, on his mind immediately, like, hey, great job on no questions, just wiping out most of the Jedi Order. Thanks. Yeah. Everything worked out great. I think, you know, he's got that awkward transition where he's selling in the Senate.
Yeah.
That the Jedi's betrayal has left him scarred and deformed. But I think maybe there's some vanity in it. You know, I think Order 67 is good soldiers think dark robes are cool. I think he gives them a mental command that, a wrinkled old man with glaring yellow eyes and rotting teeth and discolored fingertips hiding in a shadowy dark robe. That's the picture of trustworthy.
Yeah. That's a good point. I love the practical stuff, the cleanup and also the imaging. Yeah, it's very important. That's amazing.
Order 67 is just, it's all propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah. God, execute Order 67 so I can wear my robes.
Beautiful. I've always hated their aqua breathers. Bring me their aqua breathers. I love it. Absolutely love it. That is our big look at this fun question. Thank you so much, Will. Any final thoughts, Ken?
No. I'm obsessed with suddenly there's a bunch of Imperial uniforms the day after, which we've always talked about. Palpatine had to approve some kind of costume, some kind of branding. So I love this kind of stuff, getting into the fun nitty gritty. So, Will, great question.
Great question. My last bit of headcanon is at some point, Palpatine's got a bunch of these lined up and he just gets tired. That's a lot of calls to make, right? Yeah. At some point, he just has to be like, execute order 72 through 89.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get them all done at once. All right. That is our questions, our cues, our power of the light side. This is a segment where we ask patrons on Patreon to share something they love about Star Wars. Could be a character, could be a moment from their life, could be a collectible, whatever it is. I need to re-up and post a new submission request. Because our previous one is tapped out. I will do that. If you want to share some stuff, great. If you don't, that's fine too. Follow your bliss. Ken, that is it. Do you want to let people know where they can find us?
I do. I do. Also, I want to hear Palpatine go select all orders. There you go. On Twitter, Force Center Pod. We are on Hive Social. Force Center Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. On YouTube, you can find figure fights. We got some essays and more on the way. Some shorts are on there too. Follow us over there. Podcasts on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center and patreon.com/Force Center is where you can support us directly. Like Joseph just said, you can submit Power of the Light Side there. You follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kennapsok.com, for more information on other things I do, including the Blathering Podcast or Pop Rock and Radio. Even you're an ASMR fan, I got a sports card ASMR channel on YouTube as well. Joseph, where can they follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media is at Joseph Scrimshaw, still on Twitter, also on Mastodon, Hive, Instagram. Instagram's fun, so find me there. Also, you can go to my YouTube page channel, Noun. You can go to my YouTube, Noun, and check out some of the comedy and short films I have up there. Recently, in the last week, I released a new darkly comic cosmic horror short called Unboxing the Cosmos. If you want to check that out, give it a like. Let me know what you think. That would be wonderful. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for whatever Order 13 was, this has been Cues of the Force.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.